الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all mankind, upon the greatest of all creation, our leader, our Imam, our Nabi, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is through the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of sitting in the safety and the sanctity of the masjid to listen to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Qur'an. Insha'Allah, today we will look into Surah Al-Inshirah. From Surah Al-Duha, we have mentioned previously many of the surahs till Surah Al-Nas. They contain mention of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so just like that, this surah also follows this trend. The surah itself is a Makki surah and it contains 8 verses. Some scholars are of the opinion that it is actually continues from the previous surah. Inshallah, we will go into more details when we get to Surah Al-Duha, inshallah ta'ala. So in the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Did we not open your bosom for you? Did we not open your chest for you? Did we not open your heart for you? This in Arabic is known as istifham-e-inkari. Istifham-e-inkari basically means, you know how in English we say that, you know, did I not do this for you? What it means is, I did do this for you. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually saying is, nashrah laka sadrak, that we open your heart, and we open your bosom, and we open your chest for you. Now what does this mean? There are famously 2 opinions. The first opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such that it was full of knowledge so that he was able to carry out his duty to bring the ummah and to bring the entire world close to Islam and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled his heart with patience and forbearance, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the strength to bear the persecution of those opposed to Islam. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great character, great akhlaq, great wisdom. And lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the light of Nubuwwah. So already within the first verse, so many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning so many blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, who has a famous tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he mentions that in the same way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart wide and full of so many things, he mentions that Islam is also the same way. The way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to communicate and he was able to speak to and understand a wide variety of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis, he was faced with so many different characters, so many different personalities. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew how to treat each of them on their level. Look, we find the famous hadith where a Bedouin, Arabi, he comes into the masjid and he urinates. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew how to treat him and he handled the situation so wisely. And this was all done to bring people closer to Islam. So the same way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to cater for a wide range and various different personalities, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimullah narrates and he says that Islam is also the same way. That Islam is for everybody. We have in Islam, we have people come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different traditions. But yet, Islam is for everybody. In Islam, there's a place for everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us a place till the day of Qiyamah in this beautiful religion. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Likewise, in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ. Whoever whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to guide, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. He opens his heart for Islam. So there's a similar, the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The exact same words have been used in another place as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to these qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since for many years throughout history, individuals have tried to compete and they have tried to compete and draw level with the prophetic traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bravery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the intellect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the influence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet all have failed in this regard. And inshallah we will continue to give more examples of this in going further into the surah as well. The second tafsir of this first verse, we mentioned that the first tafsir was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heart to all of these qualities. The second tafsir that we find amongst the ulama, they are of the opinion that actually this verse relates to the actual physical opening of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as Shaqq-e-Sadr. Shaqq-e-Sadr the splitting of the chest, the opening of the heart, according to a very famous commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, this incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened four times. Number one, the famous story when our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the care of the wet nurse Dai Halima, the Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the milk mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was playing with the children, and Jibreel salam came down and he actually physically opened the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the children went running to Dai Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they said, you know, he's gone, he's passed away, something's happened to him. You know, we saw him, his chest was open, took his heart out. And then it was soon after that that Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha realized that, you know, this, I need to maybe return Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to his mother. So once was when in the childhood, during the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second occasion was approximately when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 10 years old. And the third occasion was when we've already spoke about during the first revelation, the incident of the first revelation, so that to open up the ability to take the Quran, Allahu alam. And the fourth one was before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. This journey has two parts. Isra, in Arabic, Isra means a night journey, traveling at night time. You know, it says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Why don't they travel in the earth? So Isra means a night journey. And Mi'raj means to ascend, the ascension. So there was two parts to the journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first traveled on the Buraq to Al-Aqsa, and then Rasulullah from Al-Aqsa, he ascended into the heavens. So Isra and Mi'raj, that's the difference between the two. So ulama of the opinion that there's actually a long hadith with regards to this. So the ulama, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, and many other scholars like Qadi Sanawullah Panipati rahimahullah, are of the opinion that this, the second opinion, that it's actually talking about the physical, the open heart surgery. It's actually open heart surgery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all four of these happened in a state of wakefulness. Yeah. Nowadays, people have open heart surgery. They have general anesthetic. They go to sleep. They don't feel any of the pain. They have, you know, everything's numb. They don't. Now, imagine the difficulty and the pain that Rasulullah went through. And all of this was for our sake, for the sake of the ummah. All the difficulties Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through in his life was for us, for the ummah, so that today we can sit here and have iman in our hearts. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ, that those who had to bear the most difficulties and the greatest tests were the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, and then those who were like them and those who were like them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam went through many, many difficulties in his life, many trials and tribulations and painful moments. All of this was done so that today we and the rest of the ummah can sit with iman in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send salutations, limitless salutations till the day of Qiyamah and beyond upon our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we were to try to live the rest of our life returning this favor upon him, we would never be able to return this favor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah in a state that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with us. so that this may be a union, a good union, and that will pleasure Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as likewise, Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, and we removed from you your burden. And we removed from you your burden. So again, there are many different opinions with regards to this burden. What is this burden? So, some ulama are of the opinion that sometimes what would happen in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something. However, this was not the best option at the time. And later, it transpired that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have actually chosen a better option. So this little bit of, could say, shortcoming was against the, what can you say? Like, for example, Rasulullah ﷺ was the greatest of all in every aspect. So, the greatest, the best of everything was expected from Rasulullah ﷺ. So, even this slight little bit of, this slight little bit of what the Prophet ﷺ should not have done, it was like a great thing to Rasulullah ﷺ. You know, like, for example, a teacher, he has many students. So, you know, the best students, they're not expected to make the slightest bit of mistakes. But, you know, the weaker students, if they make 5-6 mistakes, or start and say, chalo, at least you're here today. Yeah? It's all right, you know. Alhamdulillah, you came to the class, that's good enough for you. But you should even make a zabr, never mind, smallest mistake, you should even be making that mistake. Because you're expected to do so much better. So, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make these sort of mistakes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel the pain of it so much, and he would take it upon himself. Oh my God, you know, like, how could I do this? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we've taken this burden off you, you don't need to worry about it, it's forgiven. Also, this is twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this glad tiding to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this is the correct opinion. The other, so this one, this time it happened in Makkah Mukarramah, in the time before Hijrah. The second time it happened in the Madani period of the Prophet ﷺ's life, in Surah Al-Fatih, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dhanbik." Yeah? That, so Allah can forgive your sins. So here, sins doesn't mean sins like normal sin, because the Prophet ﷺ was ma'soom and in khata. He was sinless. Yeah? This is also a very famous an argument that the non-Muslims have, that, oh, you said your Prophet sinless. So over here he says sin. But they translate them as the normal them. But this actually is just referring to this, what they call in Arabic, khilafi awla. To when Rasulullah chose an option that was not the best, this is what it's referring to. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. The second opinion is that this difficulty is actually related to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's the experience, the difficulty he experienced, firstly at the time of wahi. We mentioned that in Surah Al-Alaq, the difficulty, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being anxious, feeling the burden of the prophethood. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this responsibility, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was scared. That, you know, it's such a great responsibility. Yeah, we mentioned all of this in Surah Al-Alaq. Then he went to Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she consoled him and she comforted him. So these moments of difficulty, also the difficulty that the Muslims experienced at the time of the at the hands of the Quraysh in the Meccan period of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, some scholars say that due to, regarding the first, the not being able to, or finding the burden of prophethood difficult, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because we have now expanded your heart, so you were able to, we made you such a person that you made you stronger, that you didn't feel this burden afterwards. Yeah? And also with regards to the persecution of the Quraysh, that obviously as the migration to Madinatul Munawwara happened, then this stopped. So some ulama have said that this is talking about the wizr, the burden upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tafsir al-Madhari, Qadi Sanawullah Pani Pati Rahimullah, he is of the opinion that basically when the splitting of the chest happened, in one hadith, Jibreel Amin, he takes out a piece of meat from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's mentioned that this piece of meat is the portion of shaitan that Allah has created within us as part of our natural disposition. And this piece of meat is the piece of meat that makes us inclined towards doing sin. You know, we know that sins are haram, right? If we see a woman walking down the street, a beautiful woman, we will feel that inclination towards looking at her. And that's natural, because Allah has made us like that. But this is our struggle. You know, that feeling towards going to listening to music, that feeling towards doing something wrong, that is something within us that Allah has created within us. And that's our struggle, that's our fight, that's our challenge on a daily basis. So, some scholars, that Qadi Sanaullah rahimullah, he says that this removal of this is what he's talking about, that we have removed the burden from you, that this is a burden upon us, right? You know, when we have that struggle, it's a burden, it's difficult for us to stay away from sin. So here, Qadi Sanaullah Panipati rahimullah says that actually, well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have removed the burden from you, he's talking about this piece of meat. And after that, Rasulullah did not find that, you know, he didn't feel that inclination towards haram, etc. Also, some ulama have expanded that to say that, you know how sometimes we want to pray salah, but we find it, feel a bit tired, we get a bit lazy sometimes, waking up for fajr, or like, you know, praying lots of namaz in Ramadan, we get tired, oh, you know, I'll do it later. That feeling of, you know, that lackadaisic feeling, that lazy feeling, it says that, or do you know when you keep praying namaz and you get tired? So, Qadi Sanaullah Panipati Rahimullah says that this was removed, this feeling was removed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After which, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ju'ilat qurratu aini fi salah," that the coolness of my eyes has been made to be in salah. So that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi would just pray salah and pray salah and pray salah. And we have narrations where the Prophet would pray so much Quran because that feeling of tiredness was not there. The ulama go on to write that we can also attain this, not on the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but through the barakah and through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by working hard on ourselves, we can also attain this level where we start to, the salah becomes our desire and our ladha and our pleasure. Yeah, we have so many examples in front of us. The most recent example I can think of was when I was a little child. In the old masjid, we used to have our late Sheikh Mullah Ismail Wadi Sahib rahimahullah. Many of us will remember he used to stand on the right hand side of the old Jama'at Khana. And he used to be there praying salah for hours and hours and hours. And I used to think, how does he do it? He's old. You know, he used to be leaning over. And he used to be leaning on the wall and he's praying. See, how does he do it? And I remember once, the Sheikh Mullah Sindura Sahib, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, mentioned that once Sheikh came to visit Hazrat Mullah Ismail Wadi Sahib, rahimahullah. And they came to the Jama'at Khana and they sat at the back. And Hazrat was praying salah. So he said, we waited, you know, 5-10 minutes, Hazrat would probably finish his ishraq or whatever he's praying, and then he'll turn around. He goes, he finished his two rakats, stood up, carried on praying. He goes, we were waiting for him. He just carried on. And he said, you know what, we'll leave Hazrat to it, we need to go. And then they didn't manage to meet him. Hazrat didn't even realize that they were behind. Another example that comes to mind, my respected ustad, the Sheikh Muhammad Rahim Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, once mentioned to us that in the early 80s when they were students, it was in the 80s, there were the long summer fasts back then. And he says that in Darul Uloom, what used to happen was, you know, long summer, we've all experienced the long summer fast, you know, 10 o'clock, go to the tent. You've only got one thing on your mind after then, two sunnahs. You want to sit down in the dastarkhan. So he goes, we used to finish our salah and we used to rush back and start eating. And then We used to look on the Dastakhan, where's Hazrat Ramdullah Ali? Hazrat Mala Yusuf Mutala Rahimullah. We used to turn around and we used to see him in the corner praying salah. Because our pleasure was in the food, but Hazrat's pleasure was in the salah. And he goes, he just used to carry on praying and praying and praying. And this is when you have reached that level. That, you know, it says about Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahimullah, that Hazrat Rahimullah himself, I remember him mentioning in class, I remember hearing this in my own ears, that Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahimullah, in them long winter, summer fasts as well, he would just have half a date for iftar. Half a date he used to have. That was enough for him. And then he used to stop praying, doing his ibadah. Because these people, they destroyed their nafs. And they destroyed their shaitan. And they destroyed that piece of meat that inclines us towards evil to such a level that this pleasure within the ibadah of Allah and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely overtook and completely overpowered the other side. And their pleasure and their ladha became that as part of in their ibadah. Also, one other hadith is mentioned that on the battle of Khandaq, Bara bin Azib radiyallahu ta'ala says, Ra'aytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawm al-Khandaq yanqulu ma'ana turab. He says that he was digging with us on the day of Khandaq and he was saying, Wallahi lawla Allahu mahtadayna wala sumna wala sallayna fa'anzilna sakinatan alayna wa thabbit al-aqdama in laqayna wal mushrikuna qad baghaw alayna إذا أرادوا فتنة أبينا أبينا أبينا. So this hadith says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that it was because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have reached guidance. We would not be fasting. We would not be praying salah, etc., etc. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we elevated your name for you. And we elevated your name for you. The ulama have written, and this is a very, very beautiful, beautiful verse. Such a verse that can be spoken about for hours and days and weeks. The ulama have written that if we look at our deen and our sharia, wherever the name of Allah is, he says that we elevated your name for you. So wherever the name of Allah is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is also there. It says that Ibn Jarir, he has one narration on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala and that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he mentioned regarding this verse, so Jibreel Amin explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا ذُكِرْتُ ذُكِرْتَ مَعْيَا. When I am remembered, you are remembered with me. And let's take a look. We have examples from a daily Islamic rituals like our salah in tashahud. We pray at-tahiyyat. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The kalima. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. After At-Tahiyyat, we pray Durood Sharif straight away. In Adhan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Iqama, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. In the Khutbah, we have the praise of Allah at the beginning, then Durood Sharif straight after. When we are commanded to make dua, we are commanded that we praise Allah first, and then we remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everywhere in Sharia, we find this. Imam Baghawi rahimahullah has narrated from his own chain of narration on the authority of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the Lawhi Mahfuz, the protected tablet, in the middle of it is written, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu. Deenahu al-Islam wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abda. That here again, Allah's name is mentioned and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is mentioned. Also, some ulama have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created mankind, He took an oath from all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that they would bring iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have elevated your name for you. Also, is one narration of Tabarani. In one narration of Tabarani, it's mentioned that although some scholars have said this hadith is weak, but it's still a hadith that you can narrate. And it's mentioned that the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day he asked forgiveness in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where's Adam alayhi salam? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thousands and thousands of years left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, how do you know this name? He said that when you created me, I looked up at the arsh and he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So I realized that the person whose name you've put next to yours, he must be someone special, so I've taken his name. So again, according to this narration, on the arsh is written Allah's name and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. Also, not just in this aspect, but from a worldly aspect, the name Muhammad, the ulama say that the name Muhammad, everybody in the world knows his name. For some reason or the other, everybody knows the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those individuals, Muslim and non-Muslim, who are intellectual, who have an unbiased opinion of things, who can look at things rationally, who can look at things without a biased eye, without the eye of discrimination, without the eye of Islamophobia, they understand the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a characteristic perspective, from an academic perspective, from so many different perspectives as a personality. And there are many evidences for this. A survey was taken place about who was the most popular names in the world. And Muhammad was the most popular name in the world. And then what they did was they said, oh well, some are spelt with an O and some are spelt with a U and some are spelt. So they split it up, that those who spelt with a, so then that the Prophet, the Muhammad name came down. Also, there was a non-Muslim, I believe a Christian author by the name of Michael Hart. He wrote a book, I think it was in the 80s. The book's name was The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. And this is a non-Muslim. And from the 100 most influential people in history, at number one, he had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we have elevated your name for you. He says, Michael Hart, he says, Muhammad was supremely successful in both the religious and secular realms, being responsible for both the foundations of Islam, as well as the early Muslim conquests, uniting the Arabian Peninsula and eventually a wider Khilafah. After his death, Hart also believed that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam played an unusually singular and personal role in the development of Islam. The development of Christianity, by contrast, has its influence split between Jesus, Isa alayhi salam's initial teachings and foundational work, and Paul the Apostle, who played a pivotal role in the early spread of Christianity, as well as distinguishing its doctrines and practices from Judaism and other Greek and Roman religions of the time period. So he also understood and identified the influence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had upon the world. And I'm going to finish with one very beautiful poem, because time is very, very short now. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, in his very famous book of Tafsir, Tafsir ibn Kathir, he mentions and narrates a poem of Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, أَغَرُّ عَلَيْهِ لِلنَّبُوَّةِ خَاتَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ نُورٍ يَلُوهُ وَيَشْهَدُ وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ إِسْمَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَى اسْمِهِ إذا قال في الخمس المؤذن أشهد وشق له من اسمه ليجله فذو العرش محمود وهذا محمد. Such a beautiful poem. He says that the most beautiful one, the most radiant one, upon him was the seal of prophethood from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was made from light that would appear shining. And it would testify to the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own name. Every single day, in five times, when the Mu'adhin says Ashhadu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala derived his name from his own name, لِيُجِلَّهُ, so that he could loftify him. فَذُو الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ. The one who owns the arsh is Mahmud, yani he is the one who is praised. وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ. Muhammad is taken from the name Mahmud. Yeah? So وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ, he is Muhammad, which basically means the one that is worthy of praise. Such a beautiful poem. Another poem says, Allama Sarsari rahimullah writes, لَا يَسْحُ الْعَذَانُ فِي الْفَرْضِ إِلَّا بِاسْمِهِ الْعَذْبِ فِي فَمِّ الْمَرْضِ أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّا لَا يَسْحُ أَذَانَّا وَلَا فَرْضًا إِلَّمْ نُكَرِّنْهُ فِيهِمَا. Says that the adhan of every day, it's not complete without the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lives are not complete without the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us with the love and the sunnah, the love in the hearts for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah in our lives, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. سبحان الله وبحمده, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.